In every part of the United States, probably in every part of the world, there's a group of people that become the object of humor. And in Texas, New Mexico, those people are the people who attend, graduate from, and are alumni of Texas A&M, Aggies. And so they're always telling Aggie jokes. And, of course, the point is Aggies are some of the smartest people around. They're always telling these Aggie jokes. I think up in this part of the world, sometimes back in the day before it became politically incorrect, they told Polak jokes, jokes about Polish people, stuff like that. There's always a group that people pick on. And there's the story of the Aggie that went into a hardware store, and he said, I want one of those chainsaws. I heard they'll make my work easier. I've got a bunch of trees I need to cut down on my property. Can I have one of those chainsaws? So he bought a chainsaw. The guy said, yeah, you should be able to cut down, 150 trees easy in a short period of time with this chainsaw. So he went out, and about 3 days later, he brought the chainsaw back, and he said, well, how did it work? He said, well, it worked just fine, but I couldn't, in 2 or 3 hours, I couldn't get more than 25 of them down. And the guy said, well, what's wrong with it? He said, I don't know. And he said, well, here, let me see it. And then he pulled the ripcord, and it started, and he went, vroom, vroom, vroom. And the Aggie said, what's that sound? Well, that's what I want to ask you Christians today in this room. We've been spending all this time in the book of Galatians, and some of you have yet to ask, what's that sound? I hear a lot of Christians pray for things they've already have. Lord, be with us. He is. Lord, bless me. He has. Okay? We ask for stuff that's true already. Okay? And the problem of it is, we don't believe the word. We still try to operate by emotions. We still try to operate by some kind of performance-based assessment. And that's why legalism is so deadly. Maturity comes by being convinced that what God says is true, and then acting on it accordingly. Fill me with your spirit. You're as full as you're going to get. He dwells within you. Okay? Now, being filled with the Spirit means being controlled by the Spirit. Now, perhaps that's a prayer you could pray. Be controlled by the Spirit. When you pray that prayer, what he's going to do is take control away from you. And that is a most uncomfortable experience. We don't like that because we think we know how to drive the car better than God does. No, no. You are not qualified. You get in the back seat and let God drive the car. That's your job. It's to get in the back seat and let him drive the car. Let him take you where he has meant for you to go when you invited him into your life. By the way, you are going to go there. Okay? And that's the whole point he's trying to make here. And so, to the very end of this epistle, every single word of this thing is aimed at this project of saying to us, Jesus is all you need. Okay? You don't need something else. You don't need a pile of rules on top of it. Yes, there are commandments that he has given us that he wants us to follow, but those will flow naturally out of your life if Jesus is your life. And Jesus becomes your life by being convinced that it's true. Say it with me. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by? No. Being convinced that it's true. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by working real hard, Christ died needlessly. Do you get it? It is by faith from start to finish. Right?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I hope you get it. Because when Paul wrote that book, he was speaking just like I just did. He is hopping mad. He is furious. My old professor in seminary said he was, Galatians is molten lava. It is filled with the most serious of arguments about this very thing. And it is about one issue. How are we saved and how are we sanctified? And that is by the finished work of Jesus Christ, period. And that work continues in and through us until the day we die. And the day we die physically, it's finished. Sanctification is done. Wow. That's why some of us have hung around so long. It's been a long project. They said when Ruth Graham died, on her tombstone it said, here lies Ruth Graham, gave the dates and all that. The work is completed. Sorry for the inconvenience. And that's a pretty good statement. But we are a finished work. The minute you receive Christ by faith, it's all done. All of it. It is now just a matter of walking out that in your daily living. But we are to live the abundant life, not by whoopee, whoopee, boo, but by being convinced that it's true. Now, if God wants to dump some emotions on me, fine. And I've had, you know, my moments when this, I got goosebumps and the skin tingled and all kinds of stuff happened. But that's just an emotional reaction to something that's real. But I don't have to have any of that for it to be very much so. Verse 11, a truth written large is why I've entitled this, because it starts that way in verse 11. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. At that point, Paul takes the pen away from the scribe, whoever he was. And he said, you can tell this is me because he alluded earlier in the letter to an eye problem he had. It is that problem that caused him to stop in Galatia in the first place. It was because of that eye problem and the fact that he had to stop in Galatia in the first place that caused him to spend some time and preach the gospel there. And as a result of that, they were saved and the church was born and it was beginning to grow. And then right behind him, after he left and moved on, having planted a growing dynamic church there, the Judaizers moved in and said, yes, trusting Jesus Christ is good, but you need to add Judaism to it. You need to become Jews. If you're men, you need to be circumcised. You need to submit yourself to 613 laws of Moses. And Paul said, if you do that, and you now make the gospel we are preaching Jesus plus anything, you're no longer preaching the gospel, and you will no longer grow spiritually. You will be, that's as far as you're going to get. You won't lose your salvation if you've really trusted Christ, but you will lose out on the enjoyment of the process of sanctification while you're here on earth. You'll retard it. You will slow it down. You might even stop it. And you may bring about, and you will bring about the discipline of God and maybe a premature death. So, don't do that. It is Christ alone. Period. Right? Oh, we forgot our five things. Scripture teaches that salvation comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. Right? I forgot it. All right. Now we can go back to Galatians chapter 6, verse 11. So he's saying, he takes it in his own hand. He says, I want you to get this. And so the last part of this letter is, now hear this. This is his summary. And every word of it is a summary of what he's already covered. And it's a really powerful piece of concluding material in this letter. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised simply that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. The people that are trying to draw you back into this legalistic system as an addition to faith in Christ in order to be, to complete the work of salvation or to be sanctified, the reason they're doing that is so they won't get persecuted themselves. They're a part of Judaism and they want to keep control of it. That's what the Pharisees did. They don't want Jesus to be Lord. They want to be Lord over Jesus and over the message of Jesus. And he said, the reason they're doing that is so they don't get persecuted. For those who are circumcised do not... Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised simply that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. They got them persecuted by the Jews. It got them persecuted by the Gentiles. Now then, the true motive, well, we got to get verse 14. But may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. That's the essence of what he's trying to say. I have been crucified with Christ. Okay? That's how it works. And so this is his message. This is what we believe. And it is believing, being convinced that that is true, that saves us. It is by believing that the Spirit works and dwells in us and moves through us. It is by counting on that as true that I experience victory over sin and the power to do the commandments of God, like love my neighbor. Try that in the flesh, dude. That's an impossible request. But it's not even a request, it's a commandment. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loves the church. Woo! Okay, let's pick a new one there. That's not what he said. In other words, if I want to love Betty Sue like Christ loved the church, then I'm going to have to let Jesus love her through me. So I'm going to have to come to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, that's what you commanded. And you love her more than I do, so I need you to love her through me. And I thank you that I want to be cooperative and available. Because if I'm not cooperative and available, what does Jesus do? He drags me through a knot hole backwards. And I say, why are you not answering my prayers? And 1 Peter says, he's not answering your prayers because you're not treating your wife right. Really? Oh, yeah. Now get that straight, dude. You didn't know that was in the Bible, did you? But that's exactly how it works. Husbands, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. I mean, I've got to let Doofus be the spiritual leader of our family. Yeah, Doofus is the spiritual leader. You submit to him, though, as unto the Lord. Okay, Lord, you're going to lead me through him? Get with it. By the way, ladies, he doesn't need your pulpit ministry in the home. You mean just by faith? I trust Jesus to get that job done? Yeah, there's a lot of things like that, isn't it? Love one another in the church. Mark Twain had a poem. He said, these Christians run around saying, up above with the saints that we love, what glory that will be then. But living here with below with the saints that we know, that's something else again. Love one another. We can't do it. But Jesus did what? He delivered himself up for us. Right? I love you because Jesus loves you. Now, you know, given enough time, I really do love you. And hopefully you love me too. But it's not a suggestion. It's agape. And so that relationship we have in the church, in the home, in the marketplace, all of these things are true, and Christ can walk, can live in and through me, and I trust him to do it by faith. And adding the 613 laws of Moses isn't going to help us one little bit. So now the true basis of salvation, and salvation means salvation, sanctification, and glorification. I don't know if you know this, but the moment you are convinced that it's true that Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross, the moment you trust him with that fact, the moment you receive Christ into your life, most of the time it's that moment comes when we pray and ask him, at least that's when we become aware that we've done it. At that moment, three things happen simultaneously. Number one, you're saved. Number two, you're sanctified. And number three, you're glorified. Now, salvation is instantaneous. Sanctification will be lived out in a process, but so is salvation. And glorification we've yet to see. But we have glorification in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then he asks us to go one leap further in the book of Ephesians and say that we are seated with him. You say, well, I thought I was sitting right here. Yes, you are. But you're also sitting right there, according to Ephesians. Now, I think Ephesians is true. So we're seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When I face a problem, what do? I immediately run up and take a seat. Why? Have you seen a dead man do much? Have you? No. No, not a whale of a lot other than stink. So, set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. When you have a problem, you go up and take a seat. That doesn't mean you abandon it and you don't do anything. You just say, all right, I'm seated with you in heavenly places. What are you going to do with, you know, here I am. What are you going to do with it? Give me, you know, here's my brain, here's my body. Whatever you're going to do, I trust you. There's the circumstances. There are the people. Some of them are seated in heaven with you. Don't act like it, but they are. And some of them are not. But I'm trusting you. Because as far as my ability to fix squat is concerned, it doesn't exist. Now, you know, we don't go to seed on this. There are some things I can do. Like I can mow the yard and I can clean the house. And I can do those things. But nevertheless, even having the motive to do some of that stuff is often comes from the Lord himself. Just to get up and move. But may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And then in verse 15, for neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Folks, if you haven't been saved, you just haven't been saved. That's what he said there. Circumcision isn't anything. Uncircumcision isn't anything. But a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation or a new creature. I used to read that verse back when Satan was assaulting me, and some of my most terrible assaults came while I was in seminary because, you know, the devil didn't want me there. Didn't want me to finish my education. Didn't want me there. And so I had a struggle about that. And I would read that passage. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And I would look at some of the problems I was having, some of the feelings I was having as a human being, some of the temptations I have, all that kind of stuff. And I was saying, I don't think I'm a new creation. I don't feel like a new creation. That's not what the verse said. What did it say? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Now your feelings will catch up with it. But being comes before doing. You got to be before you can do. Have you ever figured that out? If you're not, you can't. Does that make sense? So if you are, you can. So if you are in Christ, well, how do I get in Christ for crying out loud? These things have I written unto you in order that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and by believing, being convinced that that's true, you have what? Life. You now are. Really? Yep. That's it. And those who walk by this rule, those who walk with that conviction, those who are convinced that that's true, peace and mercy be upon them. You want the peace that passes understanding? You trust Jesus. You want the peace that comes? Trust Him. Just trust Him. Peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Now, the peace and mercy upon them, he's talking about the Gentiles. That's mostly us in this room. And upon the Israel of God. What's the Israel of God? Israel of God is believing Jews. Jews and Gentiles are saved the same way by the finished work of the Messiah in living a perfect life we can't live, dying on the cross for our sins. Dying on the cross for our sins. Dying on the cross for our sins. And then rising from the dead. And then doing what? Returning to heaven. And then doing what? On the day of Pentecost. Pouring out His Holy Spirit on everybody who believes that that's true. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. Man, that's peace and mercy. Peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Well, then the trademark of freedom. From now on, let no one cause me trouble. I don't want to hear about this again. I've written you this letter. I don't want to hear about this problem again out of you guys. You know the truth. Kick those dudes out and get on with the gospel. Get on with the ministry that God called you to do, which is to proclaim Christ, introduce people to Christ, and then live that out as a faith community. I don't want to hear this anymore. Why? For I bear in my body the brand marks of Jesus. Now, there were four groups of people in the Roman world that had marks on them like that. Now, Paul's marks came from having the sap beat out of him any number of times. Paul was a walking miracle. You can just ask Dr. Morris over here. Nobody survives what Paul went through without God's miracle grace. He was beaten with the 40 stripes minus one several times. That's with the cat of nine tails. He got the same beating Jesus did before he was crucified, and he got it more than once. He was beaten with sticks. He was stoned and left for dead. He had marks all over his body. And these came about, why? Because he preached Christ alone. In Judaism, he would have been a big hero and all that stuff. But preaching grace alone brought persecution. By the way, it will bring some kind of persecution to us. The world doesn't want to hear it. And the devil deafens their ears. But we still preach it anyway, and it does penetrate and it does get through. The grace of our Lord Jesus, the brand marks of Jesus. So the four people that had that, number one were soldiers. Soldiers in a particular battalion or in the army would have a brand on them with the name of their general. Now, some of this is going to be later filled out in prophetic history with the mark of the beast, but they had the mark of the general on them. Another one would be criminals. And what they would brand on a criminal was their crime, kind of like the scarlet letter. They would brand their crime on them. That's what they were guilty of. Slaves had the mark of their master on them, kind of like branding cattle. And then devotees of certain kind of religions marked themselves with certain cuts or brands. Paul was all four, wasn't he? He was a soldier of Christ. He was called a criminal for Christ. What was the other one? He was a slave of Christ. He called himself Christ's slave. And he was fully devoted to Christ. So he bears in his body the marks of Jesus. Those are the things that Paul did that we might have the gospel, because we sit in this room because of that man, because of his faithfulness to the Lord and his preaching of the gospel. And as he went about his ministry, we read in the book of Acts and in the epistles how he from time to time got stopped and he couldn't go in a certain area, that kind of stuff. And he had to sit down and write letters because Paul didn't like to write letters. And sometimes God would stop him and make him write a letter, which he hated to do. I'm so glad God did. And sometimes you get things like that and you have to sit down and do stuff you don't want to do because you're not very good at it, you think. But folks, God, who loves you, if you're one of his children, will use you. And you need to believe him and trust him for that process. Then he ends up with this: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Do you believe God loves you? Do you really? Don't wait, you know. Do you believe that? Just, if you don't get anything else out of today, just believe that, please. God loves you. He really, truly does. That's his grace. And it happens in our spirit. The grace of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, be with your spirit, brethren, fellow family members. And all God's people said, amen. Well, now it's time to say, have you done that? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Or are you trusting Christ as your Savior? Okay? There is a past tense. There's a present tense to that. Have you received the gift of eternal life by faith? And are you enjoying that presence by faith? Or are you relying upon your dysfunctional upbringing and your emotions to govern how you feel and how you operate? Which is it? Have you let him save you? Are you allowing him every day to save you from yourself that day? When you think about it, now I know. No, Pastor, you don't know. You don't know my kids. You don't know my spouse. You don't know my in-laws. You don't know my boss. No, I know you. Okay? There's only one problem I have, and I can't speak for you, but I only have one problem, and it's right here. I have no control over you. I have no control over a single circumstance. All I can do is pray for you. All I can do is lift up circumstance to God. And the only person I can have an effect on is me. And the only way I can have a choice with me is by letting Him, by trusting Him to be in control. Are you letting Jesus save you from yourself? That's what Paul's talking about. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by what? Faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. How many times do we just shove the grace of God away? I don't want that. I want to be miserable. I really do. And God says, no, sorry. You're going to be blessed. Oh, man. But that's it, isn't it? I don't care what's happened. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you think you are. You cannot outrun the love of God. You can't. And that's the good news we preach. Do you believe it? If today you've never trusted Christ with your soul and received Him as Savior, right there where you are, just open your heart and say, okay, Jesus, come on in. Forgive my sin and change my life with your grace. Or maybe you're like me. I've got some inconsistencies this week in my walk. Okay, Jesus, take that away too. Thanks for letting me make a fool out of myself. Give me a little object lesson. Thank you for your love. Whatever it may be, He's with us the whole way. Father, as we bow our heads now in prayer, if there's anyone here who's never trusted Jesus, if you're here and you're in that shape, you just pray this prayer. Jesus, I believe you died for me. And I believe you rose from the dead. And right now, by being convinced that it's true, by faith, I ask you to come into my life and save me. And give me the gift of eternal life. I trust you right now. Maybe you're a believer and you need to pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, here's something I got to lay at your feet. I've been hanging on to it for a while. And I can't fix it. And it's yours. Thank you.